Welcome to Liberty Monks Podcast. James Mundy here with Mike Mundy. How you doing tonight, brother Mike?
I'm doing okay, with the exception of waiting for yet another hurricane here in Florida, but otherwise, doing good.
Well, that is, tis the season, right? Tis the season. We got to deal with weather. We got to deal with a hopefully a election that goes the right way tomorrow. We've got an awesome opportunity to talk with somebody who's on the front lines in this fight, in this war right now, which we've talked about this, man. We've talked about how we are indeed at war. This is a war for people's minds. This is a silent war. This is a war not fought with your typical methods, but it is indeed a war. And we have attorney Todd Callender with us this evening, who is on the front line, like I said, with that in so many ways that I can't even count. But we're going to have a opportunity to get into your head tonight, Mr. Callender. And I just wanted to welcome you to Liberty Monks, brother.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I'm actually really anxious to do it. It's fun to be with you both.
Well, it's fun on our side too. And like I said, we talked a little bit ahead of time, and you've seen this coming for a long time, my friend. You've been fighting against this globalist ideology, and which seems to me like at this point, I mean, they are just full force. And you mentioned something really interesting. You know, this has been going on for a long time. And I know a lot of our listeners know that. We've talked about the fix has been in for not just in the last few years. This has been something that has been going on for decades and decades. And you can even date this back to the Federal Reserve System being implemented back. You know, the control mechanisms for total domination over people, enslaving people, and even eradicating people has been in process for a very long time. And there's like this elite group of people that just is the most evil, sinister, horrible human, even if they are human. I can't even tell you if they are, but they don't think like we do. And it takes brave people like you to stand up for those who don't understand what's going on, who perhaps aren't awake yet. And we try very, very hard to try to get people to start to wake up. And sometimes you got to feed them. You can't feed them the bite of steak, right? You got to give them baby food. But it seems like we're running out of time for that. So don't worry about that. We can get into the full details of all the things that you know are going on. And we would love to hear your perspective on these items. First, I would love to just introduce who you are, just for our audience who may not know who you are. Todd Callender is with us, and he's an American lawyer. He has worked in the disability health and life insurance industry for more than 20 years. Focuses on the international convergence of biomedical morbidity, mortality risks in the global legal context. Okay. He's currently serving as a lead plaintiff's counsel in the ongoing federal litigation relating to the compulsory COVID vaccination of members of the U.S. Armed Services. So a lot of our listeners, you all know that the military was forced to get this horrible, can't even call it a vaccine, this jab, this shot, this engineered deal that they put together without any testing, and we are now seeing the outcome of that. So first and foremost, that you were the first person, really, Mr. Todd, you were the first person to really go out with a lawsuit, right? And especially with the military and the armed forces. So just if you kind of fill us in, man, what's the status of the current litigation against the mandates?
Sure. Yes. This case, it's Robert V. Austin. It's in the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. We had originally filed it in Colorado, in the Denver District Court, which was federal court. And we knew it was coming, right? So we've got a lot of clients that are in the military. One of my law partners is a retired JAG officer. So we had a lot of contacts in the military already. And we've been speaking with people saying, hey, we're getting word that this is going to happen, that they're going to mandate it. So we were already prepared for it. At the time, I was doing some work with America's Frontline Doctors. And so we were collaborating as a group, we being a bunch of different lawyers together. But I was the only one that was licensed in the federal courts. So when it came time to file the suit, it was on my shoulders to do it. So the Secretary of Defense made the mandate towards the end of August. And the next day, we filed suit on the basis that, you know, these were experimental shots. We already knew that. We knew that they were gene therapy shots. And the Secretary of Defense authorized the use of force for these shots. So it wasn't hard to reason that if they can force military members, if they can strap them down, you know, to give them this shot or hold them at gunpoint till they get the shot, it would only be a matter of time before they did that to the entire public and, frankly, the entire world. It's also notable to realize and understand that this is truly global. Every country on the planet is lockstep on this. 196 countries agreed the 2005 international health regulations. So when I say we knew that when use of force was authorized, this was going to be everybody, I really mean everybody in every country. And we find the exact same laws in place in every country, particularly as it relates to quarantining and mandatory shots, that mm-hmm. there is no appeal, there's no habeas corpus, and that the world powers have used a Trojan horse called public health as a means of suspending everybody's rights. And all of this we saw coming, so we filed a lawsuit in hopes that we could slow it all down. And the lawsuit hasn't done that by itself. At this point, we got dismissed out of the trial court the day after my friend Tom Renz did the disclosure of the DMED data that our joint clients, there were four of them, there are whistleblowers in the military that said, hey, there's an 1,100% all-cause mortality morbidity increase for all the people that got the shots. Actually, it was the total population over the wow. over the year in 2020. And so the court kicked us out the next day. Bang, you're out of here. And so we appealed the case to the 10th Circuit, which is where we sit. And I've got a hearing coming up on the 18th. So the federal court wanted to hear it. I should say the federal appellate court wanted to hear it. The Department of Justice, who represents the DOD, Health and Human Services, and the FDA, filed for a motion to dismiss again. Because they do not want us getting this into the public record, into the court record. One of the issues, which is the gene modification component of this, both Pfizer and Moderna have admitted that the shots are designed to cause changes in people's bodies and produce spike proteins, for example. There are others, by the way. That is gene modification, and that is separately regulated. Believe it or not, the HHS regulates that, not the FDA. We found out that the DOD has been doing gene modification testing on soldiers since 2005. None of it is new. Our government has been planning this at least since 2001 because they've said so in their position papers and what future of warfare, fifth generation warfare looks like. So in my case, we hit all the usual targets. Look, these are emergency use. There was no informed consent. Military regulations allow exemptions. You haven't given us any. It's an illegal order. And then lastly, hey, DOD, you don't get to force these shots because it creates ownership rights in the people that got the shots. And that violates our 13th Amendment, the anti-slavery amendment. So that's really the big issue. And I think that's why the 10th Circuit actually wants to hear this case. There hasn't been any law on this particular subject since a case called Molecular Pathology versus Myriad Genetics in 2013, where our Supreme Court said, if you create synthetic, a synthetic genome, synthetic cells, as a result of gene modification, then that synthetic creation is patentable and it is owned by the patent holders. Well, there are thousands of patents out there talking about how they're going to use these genetically modified people. Our government called them the Borg in the NASA Langley research paper they did with NASA. Other places you find them referred to as other things, Homo Borg Genesis or SynBio people, you know, BioNet of things. The point is that this was a grand plan to effectively create what we saw in the movie The Matrix, that people will be used as batteries, as cloud computing nodes, in any variety of other ways, effectively hybrid slaves, really. So that's what we're trying to stop. On the 18th, if we actually get our court hearing, I'm worried that we may not. But anyway, that's kind of the big picture.
You think they may throw it out again?
I am concerned that they will, that because nobody else has been able to bring this in their suits to the court. We're the only ones actually that have gotten some of this into the record already. And, you know, it would allow, if I can make this argument to the court and say, look, this violates the 13th Amendment, the Patent Act itself says you don't get to own people, then they would have to, the court would have to apply a nationwide injunction, not just against the DOD, but against everybody trying to mandate these shots. The DOD created these shots. The DOD created this gene modification technology, and they have not stopped, and they're not going to stop. So they will do anything they can to stop us from getting this into the record.
Well, an 1,100% increase is not something you can easily hide. I mean, that's pretty...
They did. They did, though, Mike. So right after Lieutenant Colonel Long, Lieutenant Colonel Chambers, Major Sigaloff, and Mark Rashaw was a lieutenant at the time, they have four separate whistleblowers came out with the exact same data, right? So we've got good sources here, all getting it from the same epidemiological database. We present that to Senator Johnson, and within a week's period of time, the vendor who does the management of this database for the DOD, Unisant is the name of the company, they had a computer glitch. Whoa, no, the data is wrong. No, and they came up with these fudge numbers that were just absurd. What they did is they backdated information to make it look like we had the sickest, deadest military on the planet for the preceding 5 years. So that the 1,100% increase goes away. They were just always that sick and dying. Yeah, it's absurd, but that's what happened.
So you have some history here in morbidity and mortality risks.
Yeah.
And so one of the things, and I'm in that industry, I'm in the investment insurance industry. So, you know, when One America, when the CEO of One America came forward, I know Scott, and when he said that there was a unprecedented increase in mortality, that you do not see a one in 200 year anomaly, right?
That's right. Alone
should have had everybody's hairs in the back of their neck stand up. But what I found was that they covered for it. They said, oh, you know, it was mostly group plans and it was mostly people in lower income socioeconomic situations. I'm like, well, for one, so what? it's still, why now? Why now though?
43%.
Right. So from your perspective, I mean, why is the life insurance industry and the disability industry the one of the biggest tells here? I know we can get into also the people that the morticians, the funeral directors, and the embalmers, but is the data, what is the data now saying? Because it's hard to find that now. I look and I can't seem to see, you know, the information, and that seems to be something that should be coming out, but what are you seeing on your end from that standpoint? What
one would think so. So we have two sets of actuaries in our group. We're really a morbidity insurer. We do those kinds of risks, less mortality. However, the tables are much the same. They're North American tables, and we can't get updated tables, and we haven't been able to for 2 years. The National Reinsurance Association, however, published a set of tables, I think it was in 2021, giving us up to the last quarter of 2020. Well, people didn't get sick and die unnecessarily in 2020. COVID came out and, you know, flu deaths went down to nothing, but the COVID deaths, the ones that they said were COVID, didn't cause much of an increase. If any, in fact, I think there might've been a reduction in all cause mortality in 2020 when all the hospitals were full and everybody was supposed to be dying. 2020 was a nothing year. It's after the introduction of the shots that the actuaries stopped publishing the data. We haven't been able to get it, despite asking for it, by the way.
Wow. So
we've had to figure it out ourselves, is what I'm saying. It's anecdotal, right? Our insured population isn't huge. We're not a group insurance company. However, you do have, you know, talks with others in the industry and the brokers that we deal with, the insurance managers, who none of them want to talk about this. And for what reason, I don't know, whether it's the insurers are using the exclusion clause to avoid paying, or the big guys are getting bailouts from the federal government to pay claims. Whatever the case is, it's a giant secret. I would dare say a conspiracy of sorts, because they're covering it up, and people have a right to know this.
You gotta imagine it's not sustainable, right?
It
must be getting subsidies, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And what's kind of weird in the risk itself, what we're seeing, instead of a lot of people applying for disability, they go from fine to dead in 30 days. The people are running around, everything's fine. You look at these people out on the soccer pitch, they're geared up for a game, they run around, they fall over dead. So we're not seeing this huge increase in disability. They just die.
Mm-hmm. People that are in the actuary business, and you know this, they're some of the smartest people around. Yeah. If those folks start coming forward, then I think we would get some of the data. But to your point, we're not seeing it. We're not seeing people in those actuary positions coming forward. And maybe they're afraid. I don't really know.
I think so. I think they are. I had that conversation in 2020 with our actuaries, and they were saying, well, we got to get prepared. We have to adjust these numbers. And I said, oh, well, show me the data. You know, how many more have died this year? And, you know, I'd like to see those numbers. And I never heard from them again.
Wow. Now, what are you seeing also from funeral directors? Because I know that some of those people have come forward, especially over in, I think it was Germany, if I'm not mistaken, and perhaps some other countries over there in Europe. But, you know, what are you seeing from them? What types of concerning items are you seeing from the people that are funeral directors or embalmers and people in that group?
Well, I guess the most disturbing thing is this run on what they call youth caskets, right? These are short sized caskets. However, you know, those numbers, I think are wrongfully reported as there's a lot of them. There's a lot of requests for them. There's a run on them, but I don't think they actually make up the true demand, because I'm also trying to help people in what we call the hospital homicide situation, where people go to the hospital with a broken arm, and they come out the back end dead. Hospitals used to send the bodies to the funeral directors for cremation or burial. And now in many cases, we've come to find they're just sending them straight to the crematorium and bypassing the funeral homes. Sometimes even without the family's knowledge or consent, you know, sorry, your son's dead. You can go pick up the ashes next week at whatever. So we're seeing a lot of that. It, effectively, again, they're covering the tracks, covering the crimes, covering the real mortality rates. So, you know, what are we seeing? According to some of the funeral homes that we talked to, or some of our witnesses had talked to, they were having a 500% increase month on month. Well, that was last year.
Oh, my gosh. 500% increase? Month on month, 500?
Yep. Wow. So it wasn't just 1 month, 500. Every month was 500. You know, and so that's a – and if you do the math on that, you know – It doesn't get hard to see what the actual real mortality rate is. And we're starting to see it now. Dr. Tenpenny, who I speak to on occasion, and she was very early on this. And she said in 2020 or so, she said, what you are going to see is the eighth deadly vector, meaning there were seven before that, right? Kicks in 18 to 20 months after the first shot. Well, here we are. We're 20 months after people got their first shot, and people are dropping dead left, right, and center. So the real mortality rate, the eighth deadly vector, as she calls it, is actually just happening now. And of course, it's being blamed on stupid stuff, you know, whatever SADS is.
So all of a sudden adults climate just start, change. Right. All of a sudden adults just drop dead. Right. And oh, it's SADS. Right.
It's just adult death.
Right.
You got, you know, football players in junior high and high school falling over dead, and everybody's scratching their head. I can't imagine how it happened. And all of them are, quote unquote, vaccinated. It's absurd, you know, and they're just covering their tracks. I think, frankly, James, the I share your view, people, we'll call them people behind this, the owners, as I call them, you know, they've been caught. This was a genocide. It was always a genocide. It's been planned that way, as you indicated, since at least 1913, if not for thousands of years.
Yeah.
And they needed a huge mortality and mass casualty event, extinction level event with these, with the bug itself, the pathogen, and with the shots that followed it. And there wasn't the uptake. I figure only 45% of the planet got the first shot, and a lot less than that got any shots that thereafter. And the people who got the first shot, we know that a lot of those were placebos, at least as it relates to litigation that we were involved in consulting on in California, not California, it's Australia, that they didn't kill enough of us, right? And now they've got to finish their genocide, because if they don't, they're going to get hung, right? They're going to get tried. And I say that with some level of confidence, because here you've got Vladimir Putin in Donbass holding war crimes tribunals, which is exactly what happened in Nuremberg. That's what happened in Kiev after World War II. And he's doing it again and presenting this evidence that you and I are talking about right now to the UN Security Council. And of course, they're censoring it. The point is that we know, and there is a sovereign that's actually doing something about it called Russia. They can't put this genie back in the bottle. This is happening, and they have been caught.
And that's what's interesting is we talk about this quite a bit, you know, that, you know, everyone is, Russia's always been the big, evil, horrible Russia. And now they're picking on this poor old Ukraine, which is just minding their own business. And they're just trying to, you know, and so is the Ukraine war. I mean, what is actually going on there? I mean, do you have some insight into that that you can give us? Zelensky's been painted as this hero, and it doesn't add up. Right. It doesn't add up at all, because we know that there was a lot of scientists that were not there's only, what, 12 that were actually executed during the Nuremberg trials, and 2000 of them are scattered all over the place, including the United States. And what we've been hearing is Ukraine is a hotbed for a lot of the bio labs and, you know, warmongering, and also money laundering. So
sure.
So is Vladimir Putin being mischaracterized by the West?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. To give it some context, you know, when World War II was finished, Russia took half of Europe and the Allies took the other half. When Nuremberg was happening in the West, Kiev was happening in the East, right? The exact same war crimes tribunals. Mm-hmm. War crimes came out of those military tribunals, international law in terms of crimes against humanity and such. And you're absolutely right. The best scientists, I think it's closer to 3,300 or so, at least on the Western side, got brought into the United States and other industrialized nations. They're given new identities and went to work with our defense contractors, amongst other NASA, for instance, Von Braun. He was the rocket man for Germany. Yep. So, you know, you're absolutely right. There was almost a show trial for some of the defendants in Nuremberg. So nothing really changed, and one must now question whether Germany actually really lost the war, because a unified Europe was actually one of Hitler's plans. And what do we have? A unified Europe. So amongst other things, right? And the whole Nazi regime, I think, had never really left parts of Ukraine and Eastern Europe. They'd simply gone to ground, much like you would have seen in other places. So the answer is yes. I think that Russia's been improperly painted for a long time. I used to live in Eastern Europe. So I have a little bit of a different flavor for it. And albeit, certainly, you know, the Russians were hated for, you know, occupied countries such as Poland, where I happen to be. There was a lot of anger about them being there because they were occupied. Who wouldn't be angry about that? And I think back in the Soviet days, a lot of bad things were done. However, all of the misdeeds of our country were also buried. You know, the Gulf of Tonkin that started Vietnam never happened. Right? The USS Liberty that was supposed to spark off a war in the Middle East, that was shot up by Israeli airplanes. That was one of our ships. There's always a pretext for war, and it's always a false flag or a fiction. Mm-hmm. So we're not clean necessarily, our country. We like to believe we are, but we're not. My point in saying that is Ukraine was is for purposes of international law a Russian territory. In 2014, you know, our country conducted a color revolution. That's what the evidence suggests, that we sponsored Zelensky to come into power, and they got their boy, right? He became a puppet of the West, including our country, who then used the fact that Ukraine, being a territory, not a country, is exempt from the bioweapons treaties. So if you go and you look for every major pharmaceutical company on the planet, their headquarters is where? Kiev, Ukraine. Why? Because they are exempt from doing the research that has been outlawed under the bioweapons treaty. So they're doing production there. The same goes for Taiwan. So I look at Ukraine as almost like the Las Vegas of the evil warmongers, because, like you said, money laundering is not a problem. Trafficking in humans, because it's exempt from all of these treaties. So it's kind of the Vegas of Asia, for that matter.
My gosh.
And they're getting away with a lot of things. And here we, you know, our country sends over billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine, and we already know whether that's you know, military aid or whatever, it's going out the back door. And the president of Ukraine has got a $35 million mansion in Miami. Come on, where is this money really going? It's just absurd.
And that's what they're really good at. They're really good at getting people to take their eye off the ball, not look at the details, install propaganda machines wherever they possibly can. And they're brilliant at it, you know, and I hate to use that word with these people because of how evil they are, but it's true. They know how to manipulate the people, and they've done that for centuries. To your point, right? This is nothing new.
And the people in Ukraine. I have friends in Ukraine. We do some business in Ukraine, and I would tell you, they themselves, you know, they're not fully, you know, deceived, but they are. For instance, I was talking 2 years ago with a friend there, and I said, "What about the saber rattling between Russia and your country?" And he says, "Oh, it's never going to happen. The Russians are our cousins." Well, you know, a few months later, they're going pouring over the border into Donbass for, you know, a good reason. A military action is not what it was. I think they called it a limited military exercise or something like that. But even the Ukrainians themselves hear the U.S. propaganda and they can't reconcile it. But they're just kind of stuck in this situation.
Well, you mentioned the labs, and obviously, you know, more and more has surfaced that this was not only, you know, made in a lab and not some bat stew.
For sure.
Yeah, and that, you know, we've had Dr. Tal Braun on. He's indicated this is absolutely a bioweapon, and that's his specialty in research. And you had mentioned genocide and, you know, even a planned extermination of people, which is really makes a lot of sense based on what we're seeing. What role does, because we've heard about 5G playing a role in all of this too, and what could you give us with regards to 5G having some type of a role in all of this?
Well, we don't know all of it, but we sure have a lot of evidence to suggest it. And you know, there's kind of anecdotal evidence. For instance, when the whole thing kicked off in Wuhan, China, on Halloween night 2019, Wuhan became the first 5G city. They turned on 10,000 5G transmitters, and lo and behold, people are getting sick. And what we've come to find is that the very same symptomology you see with COVID, from, you know, just being sick, mildly sick, to falling over dead, all of that can be done with this frequency range between, at least in 5G, 1 gigahertz to 300 gigahertz. And everything that you're seeing in terms of almost any malady whatsoever, according to our doctors, can be replicated, can be caused by EMF radiation if it's the right frequency and the right strength. So it begs the question, did this happen as a part of, you know, the 5G rollout? Because right after Wuhan, you know, Milan broke out into this 5G infection thing. Milan was turned on next. Then after that was New York City. It rolled just like that everywhere they went. So there seems to be a causal relationship. The 21 million Chinese abandoned their 5G phones in the month of November 2019. They'd figured it out. So there is a relationship there. And what we've come to find is that it's a lot more than we thought. It appears as though the pathogen itself, the one in which they are causing people to recreate this in this spike protein, as they call it, is actually a genetic modification using hydrogel. That's something that DARPA came up circa 2001. Mm-hmm. In the hydrogel, there are base components to effectively changing people's bodies into antennas, receivers, transmitters, and batteries, including cesium-137, we came to find, that has this amazing power to bond to living tissue and turn it into an amplifier and a transistor. So it appears that the whole COVID thing was a pretext to getting a hardware installation. And that's what Moderna actually called it. The shots were a hardware installation. And that's exactly what they did. And we have all the science. We have all the experts that will tell you everything you saw in the Matrix is what is happening to those that got the shots, certainly three shots or more. And there's no other way to characterize this than a genocide, because even if everybody doesn't die, then those who do survive it, having received the vaccinations, are no longer human for purposes of the law anyway. It's still a genocide, one way or another. But they are directly related. That much we do know. I wish I could tell you I understood all of the components and parts. But what we do know is the installation of that hardware is causing people to amplify electrical signals and to send and receive electrical signals. And the use of the cesium-135, amongst others, creates a lot of that. In fact, don't believe me. Look up for yourself something called ePCR. It's a device. It could be on your watch. It could be on your phone. And it's taking signals from inside people's bodies, and it's relaying it to cell phone towers. And we discovered this from the very first phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical field trial that Pfizer did using the military, 44,000 military members and their families. And in that protocol for the field trial, it says, we used an InTouch e-diary for this process. That was an EPCR device. So we knew that they were installing this hardware inside of these people, these military members, and their phones were reading real time the data that was coming out of their bodies. And they were sending that. No, I'm not kidding you. That data got offshored. It got laundered. And then the cleaned up data to make everything look great got sent back to Pfizer and the FDA. So they buried all of the negative data from this phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trial. Look it up for yourself. The trial is C459-1001. You can read it for yourself.
So you mentioned cesium-137. What is that exactly? Yeah.
It's a atomic, I shouldn't say, it's a radioactive material that's created from fusion of other radioactive materials. It's a byproduct. And our country and, frankly, world is covered in it. If you ever hear about dirty bombs, our government was using cesium as part of their nuclear program for a long time, testing in the Marshall Islands in 1957, for example. Cesium is everywhere. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission has been studying this and following this now for decades. And it's even in they follow deer and wild hogs and plants and animals, because when it hits the ground, it mimics potassium, and the plants and the animals are eating this stuff and passing it on. I've come to understand that Americans have 1,200% more cesium-137 in their bodies than is allowed to be the safe amount. And our government has been watching this for a long time. But not only our government, so has the WHO, the UN, and all the other industrialized nations. And what's fascinating about it when you look at how they're looking at it, it's the specific absorption rate. What's the acronym for that? SAR. Mm-hmm. What is the coefficient variable? COV. There is a relationship.
Oh, boy.
SAR-CoV. Yes, and this is, and we have all the tables. There is a correlation between the cesium-137 levels, the radiation levels, and people's sickness with the COVID. So we've come to find that that was an ingredient in the hydrogel. In the case of Moderna, they call it SM-102. That's where the luciferase belongs, mm-hmm. or is in. In the case of Pfizer, it's an ALC-0315.
How toxic is this stuff?
Well, I think it's a function of doses. So, our government just bought $270 million worth of an antidote to an acute radiation poisoning event. So if there was, for instance, a dirty bomb and mm-hmm. this went off, then that's what you would be protecting yourself against, the cesium, because that's what they make dirty bombs out of. I think it's a function of how much is around us. What our research says is that all of us Americans living in this country are already 1,200% above that which is safe for us right now. So when you ask about EMF radiation, 5G, how much of it is that? Yeah. It's hard to quantify because we're being bombarded with radiation all day, every day anyway. So how does one quantify that?
Yeah, I can appreciate that. So 1,200%, you're saying on average, most people have that already in their bodies.
Yeah, that's right.
Is there a way to get that out? I mean, is there a way for people to, detox from this?
Yeah, so I had a chat with Mike Adams a week or two ago. He's obviously a mm-hmm. scientist, and he knows what mm-hmm. he's doing. And he said, yeah, there are some ways to do it. Our research team, and we have a pretty big research team, has said that activated charcoal will do it. Something called Prussian blue will do it. And then there's a brand name, acute radiation poisoning drugs that the government just bought a whole bunch of. I can't remember the name of the brand.
Isn't Prussian blue blue food coloring or something, or blue dye?
It is blue paint. And
paint,
sure enough, Mike Adams, he's the expert on me. I said, are you joking me? The Prussian blue paint will remove this? And he said, yes, that's what I'm telling
you. No kidding.
Yeah.
My gosh. So you mentioned a couple times in that, just in our conversation here, hardware, right? So they've more or less injected hardware into people, and that might be the graphene. Yeah. Right, the graphene that we're hearing about that sure. can be manipulated, that liquid metal or the nanometal, is this all part of some plot for transhumanism? Because
yes.
we're also hearing that too. Again, could you elaborate a little bit more on that for us, on just what that really means?
Well, okay, so if you were transhumanism, our government already talks about it openly in many respects. Go to the NASA Langley research paper in 2001, page two. It's fifth generation warfare. This is what they're talking about. By 2025, the second page, it calls humans Borg. But it's genetic modification. They're creating super soldiers. Kim Jong-un in August of 2021 did a display of his super soldiers. These guys are getting hit in the head with sledgehammers and they're fine. You know, that kind of a thing. They've all been working toward this. Governments are using fifth generation warfare as the bio. It's the biosphere where it's real-time intelligence from inside bodies and it's harnessing people connected as cloud computing nodes. If you can imagine that, that's what they're talking about. As part of warfare, the Chinese and Americans have been doing publishing or doing position papers on this for some time. You could look up, for instance, the UK and Germany. The Ministry of Defense in both nations collaborated on something, a paper called Human Augmentation. They're changing, they're genetically transforming us. And early on in my research, I'd come across a position paper, I think it was maybe Kissinger's, but back in the 70s, they had a stated goal that was the prelude to Agenda 21, otherwise known as the Agenda for the 21st Century, with three primary goals: the elimination of private property rights, the elimination of borders, and a 95% reduction in the world's population, along with the genetic modification of every plant and animal species on this planet for the purpose of spiting God. So there you go. And so look at, if you go to our NIH and type in SynBio, SynBio. This is an industry. This is the genetic modification of plants and animals in our nation that are now loosely regulated and nothing prohibiting it. And you don't have to question whether this is real as it relates to humans. They've already come out with a non-discrimination law. It's called GINA, Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act, whereby it envisions that some people will be genetically different than others, and therefore they need protections in terms of employment practices. All of this has been planned since at least 2001. They've been telling us this since 2001. The military's been genetically modifying our soldiers since 2005. And by the way, the informed consent provisions are less when you're doing genetic modification. All of this has been happening right in front of us the whole time. They show us these movies like The Matrix to predictive program us. And now we're in the process of actually witnessing this happening.
And you
So what?
mentioned, oh, go ahead, Mike.
So where's the fine line between a genetically modified person and the patent holder becoming that person's owner compared to human rights or constitutional rights? What's the line there?
I don't know exactly, and that's actually what's in front of the court. I'm asking them first to recognize that by virtue of the gene modification in both the Pfizer and the Moderna shots, and the reason I pick out those two, AstraZeneca and Johnson and Johnson, they're probably the same thing, but they used adenovirus vectors. The holding in Molecular Pathology versus Myriad Genetics said that use of mRNA to effectuate gene modification through reverse transcription in something called cDNA, complementary DNA. That is a synthetic DNA. It is the result, the byproduct of this genetic modification through the use of mRNA that creates the ownership rights. So herein lies the question, Mike. How much does a person have to be genetically modified to be considered somebody else's property? That's a great question. The problem is this: there were billions, if not trillions, of these lipid nanoparticles that were put inside of people. How many cells do we have? How many of those were actually genetically modified into a new synthetic cell? How much DNA? And could you even separate it anyway? So if you go back to the Civil War, and this is part of my argument, actually. For purposes of the census, where our government was trying to allocate how many people in the House of Representatives should be the number in of representatives in Congress, right? So one state had 300,000, you know, how many delegates should they have? At that point in time, there was the notion that black people could only be counted for three-fifths of a vote. How much gene modification does one need to be three-fifths of a person, right? This whole idea was so repugnant to our country, especially after the Civil War, that along came the 13th Amendment and said, we don't care what kind of people you're talking about. In fact, the 13th Amendment talks about parties, not people, not humans. they're counted. If they're sentient, they're counted, is the way I look at it. So I don't think it really matters. And the problem is this: from a legal perspective, if a human is defined as a Homo sapien, and these people that are genetically modified are no longer a Homo sapien, they are a Homo Borg or Borg Genesis or Synbio, what rights do they have, if any? And I hate to tell you this, I'm not sure it makes a damn bit of difference anyway, because all of our constitution and human rights have been suspended since March of 2020 anyway. Yeah. We don't have any rights. No one on the planet right now has any rights because we're under a public health emergency of international concern.
Man, oh man. That's
public health was weaponized.
Yep, you're right. It was
to destroy us. And now it's being moved under the DOD, which is one of the reasons why they're pushing this. And it's the same in every country. This is a military operation, and we are being transformed or killed right now.
What do you think the ultimate goal is here?
They what told do you think us. The, what this was is that? This is a war of God versus evil, God versus Lucifer, and they already told us they are genetically modifying every plant and animal species on the planet to spite God. This is where Lucifer says, these are no longer your creations. These are no longer your children. They are mine. We are in the battle for souls right now. That's what this is about.
Are the what is the risk to the unvaccinated? Because you have the
never ending. Go ahead.
Well, of course you have the vaccinated, and that's obviously pretty clear because it's not, this was never about trying to help them stop getting sick. It was never about you know, this was a complete pull the wool over the eyes, just trust us, we got your back, and it obviously is nothing anywhere near that. But the people that were smart enough, or at least they had the inkling, maybe they had God in their ear, like you mentioned, you know, God whispering in their ear, don't do it.
Yeah.
What do the unvaccinated now, what do they need to be concerned about? And what actions do you think they should take?
Well, lots to be concerned about. And again, we've got a big bench of experts that provide us a lot of good consulting, about 1,200 of them. And I hear all kinds of interesting things, remedies that are coming. I work very closely with Dr. Vliet from Truth for Health. But truthforhealth.org is her website. And she's got protocols to help people, either if they're vaccine injured or if they're just trying to stay human, for lack of a better word. There are things we can do, whether that's activated charcoal, whether that's chlorine dioxide. Believe it or not, there I heard earlier today that the Australians figured out that frankincense and myrrh will, in fact, reverse 98% of what's happened in the vaxxed people. So there's a lot of really good people figuring all this stuff out. And we now have an opportunity, I think, to take our planet back. As you and I talked about, you know, if it weren't for President Trump, whether we have problems with him or not, irrespective of that, he caused a 4 or 5 year delay for this program that's been, you know, at least 100 years in the making. And by virtue of that hiatus, we've actually got a chance to take our planet back. And without that hiatus, without him being there, none of this, you and I wouldn't be talking. We'd already be dead or transformed. So I think God gave us this opportunity to take it back. It's up to us, however. And I know I'm not answering your question directly. The most important thing we can do, if you don't want to get sick, you don't want to be a transhuman, whatever, is you got to stand up for yourself. You got to fight and fight like hell. Get off the bench. Nobody's coming to save you. This is about us saving ourselves. And the Bible even speaks about that, right? You got to meet God halfway.
Absolutely. You know, as a species, right? As humans, those that will remain that way. If you could give people, I know getting off the bench and getting active, I know all of that is important and critical. But what do you think needs to be done ultimately to prevent this extermination from becoming a reality that we have to endure?
Yeah, well, we've got to replace our government. The government itself, and this goes for everybody on the planet, the government itself is not the problem. We need governments for society to operate.
Sure.
It's the people running the governments. So we all know there was a theft of our election. We all know that the people in power made this happen. We can't get You know, any remedies out of our courts. We had more than 20,000 criminal complaints filed in March of 2021. Not one sheriff, nobody, you know, investigated or prosecuted. No. We're not getting any redress out of our governments. We must replace them all. So tomorrow when people vote, let's pray like no tomorrow, literally.
Yeah.
That we have elections fair enough to vote every last one of these bums out, because either they were part of the problem or they abdicated their responsibility and allowed this to happen. I can tell you from a legal perspective, they had to collaborate to put all these pieces in place for this to happen. And there's only so much I didn't know that you can actually take. And in the military, those generals know. They all know. Everybody flipping knows.
Yeah.
So we've got to replace them all. And some of the people I work with say, look, let's just build a parallel society and abdicate. You guys have it. You want that system, you go ahead. If you want digital money that they can turn off and turn on, you go ahead. And I think that if the election doesn't go well tomorrow, we don't get rid of all those people, that's where we end up. And hopefully we can do it peacefully and just say, look, I'm not part of your system. I'm a state national. I'm not collateralized, and I'm not giving up my cash, and I'll just deal with other people. And if we're lucky, if we had 50% of the people in the states or globally who felt the same way, and I think that we do, let that other system dwindle and die. And let's just carry on as humans independently and together. God's children.
Yep. Absolutely. Amen. Well, Todd, I know we're running up against our time with you this evening. If there's anything, a couple of things. One is just thank you for being on. But I would like to know, just what do you want to leave people with? Is there anything that just that comes to mind that would you think would be really critically important to leave people with that are listening?
Yeah, well, build your relationship with God, number one. This really is, we're in the final battle, right? This is good versus evil. This is a spiritual battle. And if you haven't gone to church, I don't know that that matters a lot. What does matter is that you've got a relationship with God. You need to repent and understand that you are God's child and you'll be forgiven. And we've got to do that first and foremost. Once we get over that nonsense, all those crazy little secrets and nonsense we've got in our lives, and we're truly liberated. And then that's how we get off the couch. That's how we put behind us all of those horrible things and move forward with a pure heart and soul. That's the single most important thing that we need to do. And go to the polls tomorrow with that in your heart.
Amen. Well, gosh, this was enlightening. You covered a lot of territory, man. You covered a lot of territory, and I know we could sit here and talk for 5 hours straight. I mean, I got a lot of questions, and I know Mike does too, but I know we're out of time this evening, but we'd love to have you back on and to continue this conversation here, and hopefully can have you on soon. Where can people find out more about all the things that you're doing? Is there anywhere specific that they should go to?
Yeah. So you can follow what we're doing at VaxChoice, VaxChoice.com. Dr. Vliet, I already mentioned truthforhealth.org. And then we've got a self-help legal website and clinic, frankly, called the number five small stones. We have a team of lawyers, paralegals, doctors, all contributing to create templates that people can fight for themselves. You can make your complaint against the hospital. You can sue. You can do all kinds of things. The forms are there, and people are willing to help you if you just ask for help. But if we overwhelm the system by fighting for ourselves, we can take our country back. We can take our planet back, James. And thanks to you both for having me, by the way.
No, absolutely. If you have the time just to stay on with us just for a couple minutes afterwards to wrap up once we end here, we would love that. For those of you out there, also, most of you probably are aware now that we also have a live show on freedomfirst.tv. So please go to freedomfirst.tv and you can see Liberty Monks live. That is Monday and Wednesday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And if you subscribe there, you get the whole war chest of all the different shows, all the different archives, and a lot of conversations like the ones we had tonight with Mr. Callender. A lot of great information on freedomfirst.tv, and if you use the code Monks, you get a 25% discount on your annual or monthly subscription. So don't forget to go there. Also, don't forget to go to libertymonks.com, and you can see all the episodes. You can find this episode once it's posted, and then you also can go to the online store now and you can get all the Liberty Monks freedom gear that we have online. So go to www.libertymonks.com/shop and you can find that information. Todd, God bless you, brother. God bless you and the work that you're doing. Really. It means a lot that you came on. It also means a lot that you're out on the front lines. We feel a lot better. We have people like you that are in the know that are, if there is a way to feel better about all of this, it does feel good that there's people like you that are knowledgeable that are out there putting on the line. Yep.
Come on.
And that is, brother. Jump in, right? Jump on in. The water's warm, right?
That's right.
But God bless you, man. God bless everybody out there listening. We appreciate you more than you know. And as always, God bless America. Until next time, be safe and well and have a great evening, everybody.